I'll be brief this morning, as always, but I hope you'll listen, as always. The Apostle John, in his first epistle, begins the very first verse in chapter 1, you'll notice, with a remarkable statement. He says, "That which was from the beginning." Now, that sounds like Genesis 1:1. In fact, it sounds like the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning. And then he says, "Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon." Yes, there's a difference between hearing and looking upon. You might see the sheet music up here for choir and orchestra, but the musicians look upon it, lest they feel the wrath of heaven. I see a dessert when it passes by me in a restaurant, but I look upon it when it's on my plate. See, there's a difference. And then verse 1 says this, "And our hands have handled of the word of life." John says, we heard Jesus, we saw Jesus, we looked upon Jesus, we even held him in our own hands. And that's not all. You'll notice that he says in verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard, now declare we unto you." Well, that's good news. At least, that's wonderful news to me. Everything that John saw and heard and witnessed and experienced with Jesus, he's about to declare. Notice verse 4, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Okay, so whatever he's about to declare, from all of those years of hearing and seeing and looking and handling, whatever it is, the Bible says, well, it's joyous. In fact, the word is full of joy in verse 4. And then he says this in verse 5. "This then is the message." This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. Now, wait a minute. You do know that that's a grammatical device, don't you? It's like saying, okay, here it is. Here's that message. And then in one of the shortest books in all of the New Testament, he writes one of the shortest statements in all of Scripture. You know, folks, I don't have Twitter. Back in 2006, 2007, when it first came out, you were limited to 140 characters or less. Now it's 280 characters. But either way, unless people are miraculously typing wisdom and judgment from all over the world, then you know what? This can't be good. It's got to be lame. And guess what? Sure enough, last summer I read an article called "The 20 Most Retweeted Tweets of All Time." And I thought, wow, the 20 most retweeted tweets of this has got to be amazing. They must really be good. 280 characters of wisdom and of truth. No. Pretty much all of them were useless and dumb. Three of the top 20 were BTS. That's K-pop. A couple were One Direction. That's K-pop British edition. Cash giveaways, NBA jersey giveaways, some puppy being adopted. I mean, in this article, apparently Twitter is mostly 280 characters of narcissism and fluff and celebrity. At least Pinterest has recipes and pictures of food. Amen? Which brings us to this message, because what John does in just 35 characters in English, only 42 characters in the Greek. Matter of fact, the entire verse is less than 140 characters. What he does is drop a truth bomb. And you know what? While the world might not notice all that much, John's tweet has been trending in eternity and in heaven for 2,000 years. And for all of those 2,000 years, actually changing lives and the world. What's the message, John? You saw, you heard, you touched, you had. What's the message that you declared, the declaration? Notice he begins in verse 5 with one word, God. This is the first word of the message. Doesn't begin with Caesar, doesn't begin with Trump or Biden, doesn't begin with Mary or John or Peter. It doesn't begin with Pope or King or Queen or Senator or President. In fact, it begins the same way that the Bible itself begins. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. And what does John say in verse 5? God is. Now, folks, I want you to hear this very carefully. It doesn't matter how pagan or secular or atheistic our universities become, or how godless Hollywood is. Like little children who plug their ears and close their eyes and say, no. It doesn't matter. And it doesn't alter this one great truth, which is immutable. God is. Oh, you don't understand, Pastor. I've been reading a lot of Bertrand Russell and Sam Harris and Dawkins and Chomsky and Kubrick, and I've been on the internet. Read it or not. If you will also see and study how these people died, you'll still be reminded, no matter what they ever wrote, God is. And by the way, you'll notice it doesn't say God was. Now think about that for a minute. Decades after the crucifixion, this one who saw, who beheld, who heard, who handled the Lord Jesus also knew that he rose again and still is. God is this morning. This is the message. This is a message so full of joy and hope and truth in the midst of this very dark and dying world. It's wonderfully joyous unless. Hear this. Unless you're on the wrong side of John's next five characters. What does it say in verse 5? God is light. Now, folks, I want you to think about what the Holy Spirit inspired John to write so far in 10 characters or less. Three words. God is light. And once again, beloved, we're reminded of Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Now, can I ask you a question? Why do people go out at night and look at Christmas lights? What's the point? I got an amen on that. I don't know why, but amen and amen, Brother Rob. He knows why. For that matter, why are Christmas lights a thing in the first place? Thursday night, Ben and I drove over to the Heights. We lived in the Heights for over 16 years. You know, there's a lot of peer pressure put on people living there to get up Christmas lights. That's why we moved. Amen. Humbug. I don't know. Andy used to say to me, he said, oh, Dad, people are going to think we're Jewish. Well, that's fine. I don't care. We're sons of Abraham, Andy. So there you go. But we drove over there the other night, and as always, it was pretty. And at one point, I said, you know, Ben, if we drive through here tomorrow at noontime, it's just wires and plastic and cords. It's pretty ugly. And he said, well, Dad, that's because these lights, these Christmas lights, are made for darkness. He said, we already have the sun as a light. That's why we have green trees and blue water and colorful flowers. Without the sun, those wouldn't be pretty either. And I go, okay, Benjamin Aristotle or whatever. But, you know, think about it. From the moment baby Molly Jane Royal was born 11 days ago, her tiny little eyes would blink open and closed, trying in those very first hour to let some light in. They squint because a newborn's eyes are not entirely ready for that light. But you know what? Without any light at all, they will remain in darkness. And one day, those little eyes will delight. Yes, I use the word, they will delight to see light in the darkness. She might even wonder at the lights on the tree this very season before it's over. And why? Because when I drive through the Heights, you know what I notice? I don't see any groups of cats or dogs going up and down Harrod Avenue admiring the lights. Oh, wow, meow, whatever. July the 4th, fireworks are going off at night. How come fish don't swim to the surface in little families and go, oh, wow, awesome? I can tell you why. God saw the light that it was good, and only man is created in the image of God. John 1 again says, Jesus is the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into this world. You see, folks, John knows that his readers know that light is both physical and spiritual. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Can you imagine how egotistical you would have to be as a human being to make that statement? I am the light of the world. Light represents truth and omniscience and holiness and purity. And this is why, as joyous as the message is, as we noted earlier, it is not so if you're on the wrong side of it. Why, Pastor? Because John 3:19 says, this is the condemnation. That doesn't sound very joyous. John 3:19 says, this is the condemnation that light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light. You see, folks, God is, and God is light. It is a convicting testimony that man is not light. That man, beloved, and the entire world, the Bible says, abides in darkness. Verse 8 of our text, if you look in your Bibles, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, which brings up the question. If God is light and man is darkness, how is this message so full of joy? God divided the light from the darkness. Beloved, that leaves man with no hope, no salvation, no redemption. We just read, this is the condemnation that light is coming to the world. So where's the joy? Well, that's the last part of the verse. This is the message. God is light. And don't leave out this last part. And in him is no darkness at all. Why did he write that? Because didn't John just say, we heard Jesus, we saw Jesus, we looked upon Jesus, we even touched him with our own hands? Didn't John just testify in verse 2 that for years Jesus' life was manifested before our very eyes? Yes. And now he says this, in him is no darkness at all. You know, folks, I love Brother Gary Chung. Watched him up there singing. I have heard and known and seen and shaken hands with Brother Gary, not for 3 years, as John with Jesus, but for 33 years, since he was a young fella. And yet, as much as I love and admire Brother Gary, it wouldn't take me 3 months, 3 weeks, 3 days, maybe 3 hours to know that he's not sinless. Of what man can you say in him is no darkness at all? Of what human being can you say in him is no darkness at all? And John says, I know one. Only one. I looked upon him. I watched him. I heard him. I followed him. And you know, beloved, it is the only reason why the last part of verse 7 is true and makes any sense at all. The last part of verse 7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. In other words, hear this carefully. The God who is, the God who is light, the God who is light and in him is no darkness at all, sinless. He is the only man who ever lived who is worthy or qualified to die, shed his blood, and pay for man's sins. That verse we alluded to earlier in John 12, in the rest of it, Jesus says this: I am come a light into the world. Whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Wow. But Pastor Blaylock, ever since college, when I read something Hemingway wrote, I've had a hard time believing. Okay, that's the message of a man who lived 19 centuries after Jesus, and who ended his life of darkness and depression tragically at the age of 61 with a shotgun in his beautiful home in Idaho. He had a message. But this is the message of the one who 19 centuries before saw Jesus, heard Jesus, looked upon Jesus, embraced Jesus. This is the testimony of John, who wrote earlier in the third chapter of his gospel, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It's the most famous verse in the world. It's also the most beloved verse, arguably, in the world. And people think it's just a verse of love, but it's got a word in that verse. The word is perish. Perish. If you believe and embrace his love through his Son who died for your sins, it's beautiful. If you don't believe, you perish. The same John wrote, "In him is no darkness at all." You know what no darkness means? It means you can't lie. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." This is the word of the only one who could never lie. Our Father in heaven, bless now this invitation time. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the truth, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. And the wages of that sin is death, perishing, as John 3:16 says. But thank you, Father, that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. May some in this room embrace that gift and be saved. May all of us in this room who've been saved want to share that gift with everyone around us. And so bless now those who've asked for prayer in this time, in Jesus' name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.